Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the 6:30, Keeping It Real, the Three Apostle Hour. And today, we want to greet you and welcome you to our time with you. Today, we looked at what's happening in the world today in the United States and other places around the earth. And we concluded that lies seem to be the order of the day. And if you, like us, you're struggling with why is things happening the way they're happening now? What is the reason? And you know, I struggled with that until I finally realized what the word says. And that's why today we're going to have this discussion and hope that you will find the words of the scripture to be comforting to you, just as they was comforting to us. Whenever you turn on the TV, you can just be flicking through the channels and you will see or hear something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Something that doesn't line up with the word. And before people, you make your judgments about us and about this discussion, I want you to think about the scriptures. When Jesus went to the fig tree and there was no figs on it, or no sign that there would be figs on it, he made a decision. He cursed that tree. Now you say he was being judgmental. I'm saying he was just looking at the fruits. And that's what we're doing today. We're looking at the fruits. What are the fruits? What are people saying? What are people thinking? What are people doing? And I really had a hard time. I might have mentioned this before. Had a hard time discerning as to why all these people are following an individual that lies. And I looked at it and I said, okay, the father of lies is the devil. And I found scripture to support that. And also now, before we get started, once I'm waiting for them to call in, because we're all in different states. And even if we're in the same state, we're in different areas. It's one, Apostle Miller has just signed in. Good evening. Hello. Apostle Miller.
Good evening, Apostle. How are you?
I am fantastic, because the word says that. And
I am too, victorious.
Yes. The thing is, I was doing the introductory piece and started explaining where we are tonight and why we are there. And hopefully we will have words of comfort for those people who are listening to the news or just watching TV or reading it or hearing people discuss it, that they will find comfort in the word, as I have, because I struggled for a while with the whole thing. And I also explained that we're not being judgmental, and we are dealing with people's fruits. And fruits are what we hear and what we see. And the whole thing is, a lot of times, words that people say, we have to, how does other people, what does people hear the from the words that they're saying. Lots of times, like, for example, and well, let me stop here. Apostle McIntyre.
Hello and happy new year to you, Apostle Armstrong.
I thank you, ma'am. And Apostle
Hello,
Miller.
Apostle Miller. Hello, Apostle Hart. Supernaturally wonderful.
Mm-hmm. See, Apostle McIntyre is the apostle of love. Apostle Miller is the apostle of the already. And I am the apostle of now, N-O-W. What's happening now? Oh, and what I was saying, let me wrap up this introduction. What I was saying was as simple as that. We're not being judgmental. We're looking at the fruits. We're looking at what people say. Lots of time, the meaning is different from what they say. For example, I'm just going to start at the top. When I used to hear the person say they're going to make America great again, that wasn't what I heard. What I heard was going to make America white again. And that's what I'm dealing with, and that's what a lot of people are struggling with. What people are saying is not what people are hearing. And that's why here tonight we're going to try to give people some comfort, some words of comfort. And if we look at, I looked at 1 John, my phone is acting up here. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, I start at verse 3. And this is the King James. It says, and every man that has, let me start at the beginning. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, this is the key here, what was shown me. And that first part was, but this said, and every man that has this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. So I started looking, why is it that my understanding of the word as written is different from their understanding of the word? So what's going on? And when I read this, it began to make sense. It says, whosoever commits sins transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, sin. Sin is basically very simple, being disobedient. But a lot of people try to make a big to-do out of sin. It's very simple. Those who disobey the word, disobey the law as written, as passed down by the Creator. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Talking about our Lord and Savior. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Now this one is verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So whenever I look back at all those people, they have been deceived, but they had a role in it themselves. If they was who they say they were, based on the first 6 verses, they would not be doing what they're doing. Their fruits would not be in conflict with my understanding of the fruits that the Creator has ordained for us. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his sin remain in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Talking about our Savior there. This is verse 10, and I end here. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that love not his brother. It took a while for me to get to that point. But that's where I am now, and that's why I can have peace in the midst of this turmoil and conflict and all this foolishness that's going on. And I know that my Creator is not, he's going to have the last word. And it's not going to be any man, no matter what office or whatever that man is aspiring to do. He's going to have to give account to the Creator for his action if it doesn't line up with the word. And that's where I am now. And that's why I can be at absolute peace with all of this stuff that's going on. Now, I remember years ago, I could not be at peace. I would be all upset, and I would be thinking all negative, and that all this bad stuff is going to happen. But not this time. Because I know my Lord and Savior and the Father, they are going to have the last word. And that I'm covered and protected by the word. So, I know that was a little long, and I'm sorry, y'all. But any comment that you'd like to make about the people that you have sit and counsel with that's frightened as a result of what they see, and they feel hopeless, that there's no hope. But we see hope. Because my thing is that I see the Creator is going to be have the last word. And no matter what people say, no matter what people do, if it doesn't line up with what he said, it's not going to come to pass. Now I know who that is. That's Apostle Miller.
Apostle, go ahead, Apostle Gwen.
No, he heard the right one, Apostle Miller.
Okay, you know, listen at what you're saying, Apostle. The reason why we can have peace because we are focused on what God say versus what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you focus on what's happening in the world, it's always contrary to what God's word say. But if we have faith and confidence in what God's word say, and begin to open up our mouth and decree what God say that is contrary to what he say, then we can always have peace. We can only have peace if we truly believe and accept the finishing work of Christ. You know, I have peace, and the Lord let me know a long time ago, you got to stay focused on what I say. You know, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with listening at the news and all of that, but we got to put our faith and confidence in the one that created this earth, and he mm-hmm. know how everything going to turn out.
Yes.
And so if we truly believe and trust what God say, we can experience the peace that passes all understanding. And we can decree what God says. Now, God gave us, we have the authority over the earth. But the way we release that authority by decreeing and saying what God says. But a lot of people, if they looking at what the world say and believing and trusting what the world, they not going to experience the peace of God. That just is.
Now, that is true.
When?
All right, Apostle of Love. Step up to the plate.
On the air, Chris.
Go ahead, Apostle Miller. I had a call come in. I got to take it.
Okay.
Y'all keep on. I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. But there, too, again, as I stated, that's why even in this first chapter, this first John, the second chapter, what you're talking about, it even tell us about, it help you show you how to distinguish the believers from the unbelievers.
Yes. Yes.
And as you said, sin, a lot of people are reaping, we're reaping and seeing a lot of things, the consequences of sin. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got a lot of people in authority in the White House. They don't believe God. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, if I'm correctly, he said, cursed is the man that trusts in man.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be just like the children of Israel. Children of Israel were God's chosen people. But God wanted to show the world through Israel what it was like to believe and trust in the Creator. And we as born-again believers, as the salt in the light of the world, we're supposed to be showing the world through our lifestyle, our relationship and commitment to God, what it's like when drama and all chaos stuff broke out. But if you believe in and trusting in God, we can experience the peace of God. You know, but as I stated, a lot of things happen. It ain't nothing but the consequences of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when, and that's what I tell people when they be, well, so-and-so going, I said, what did the word say, though? Well, so-and-so, and I said, no, what we see, now I think it's in Corinthians, he said, while we look not at the things that are temporary, we look at the things that not seen. We have to look at things based upon what God says. And not only that, we got to say what God said in order to get some things to change. But according to the Bible, some things is not going to change. That's why God said new heaven and a new earth. But we still can experience the peace of God and the victory of God while we're here.
Now, that is true. And now, one of the things that you said that I just want to emphasize, I'll get you to speak on a little bit more, change, that we, the Creator has given us power and authority to bring about change into the earth. If when people look at the law, look at the children of Israel, and look at their relationship with the Creator and how they were able to intercede and cause change to take place, then we can do the same thing. But we can't be reactive. We have to be proactive. We see it coming down the pipe. So like you said, we got to speak it. And we speak into it. And then the Creator then will be invited to come in and change it. And also, we have the peace. You talked about peace, and that's peace, not like the world has peace.
No.
This is the internal peace. We have peace.
Right.
I have peace inside of me. I don't be concerned anymore about what's happening over yonder. That's courtesy of my ancestor. Oh, yonder. Oh, what's happening over there? Or what's happening right here? Because when you know the word, as you were saying, you line things up with the word, and you know what the Creator is going to allow. And the Creator is not going to allow anything that doesn't line up with his word to take place. You say, well, Well, it may happen for a short time, but in the end, his ultimate will shall prevail.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you know that deep in your heart, you can walk with your head high, or you can stand. And in the midst of all of it, when everything is falling down around you, and you have that confidence of the word to know that you will not be affected one way or the other by what is happening.
Then too, Apostle, some that it may be shifting a little bit, but this some God been really talking to me about since 2024 came in. Really what's happening on the earth, if the saints look at it based upon what the word said, it led a lot of believers, letting them see where they stand at in this hour in time. As things is happening on the earth according to what God said were going to happen.
Right.
But we as born again believers, if we stand and say what God say, then we going to experience the peace of God, and God, the Holy Spirit, going to reveal to us what God will have us to say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thing is, a lot of what's happening on earth, these things that is so contrary to what God said, we got to stay focused on what he said, and we got to speak what he said about it in order for us to experience the peace. Because remember, at the end of the book, the Bible said we won. See, we ain't fighting from a place of trying to get the victory. We're supposed to be fighting from a place of victory.
Mm-hmm.
We already know we got the victory, but that victory is based upon what the finished work of Christ, what God is saying. And you can't sit around and focus on the negative all the time. And then mm-hmm. when pressure hit or chaos hit, you begin to open your mouth. You ain't going to say what the word say. You going to say what you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there too, again, a lot of this stuff ain't nothing but a detraction from the enemy to try to get the saints to discredit God, to doubt what God's word said. Paul said in Ephesians 6 chapter, he said, "Now finally, my brother," he said, "put on the whole armor of God." But I like what he said. He said, "Because you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood."
That's
right. I'm hearing and seeing a lot of bitterness, resentment, and hatred in the earth. Well, if we look at it based upon what the words say, these people being influenced by an invisible being and got them looking at that person or that individual instead of that spirit that behind it. So, and I tell people, and I hear people, "Well, so-and-so did this, and I can't stand so-and-so, and so-and-so, and I hate so-and-so in the White House." I said, hold up. You viewing it like me is the people that's not saved. I said, now, we supposed to view it based upon what the word say. When Peter had got a revelation, it had been revealed to Peter who Jesus was, and Jesus and Peter said, "Thou the Christ," Jesus complimented Peter. But then when Jesus began to go more in depth about what was going to take place in his life, Peter wanted to rebuke Jesus and pull Jesus to the side. But Jesus turned. Jesus was able to discern and recognize the enemy had got in there. So he turned and said, "Satan, get behind me." He didn't say Peter, because he recognized that at that very moment, Peter was being influenced by the enemy. And a lot of the saints that walk around here with this resentment, this all and bitterness in their heart against peoples in authority, instead of targeting that spirit that's influencing them, they looking at the individual. And when they do that and get in that bitterness and resentment and hatred, well, the Bible says faith worketh by love. Well, we get out of alignment with the word of God. So I'm telling you, we got to really make sure, and this is what the Lord been telling me, stay focused on what my words say.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, and when you hear evil and all of this stuff, begin to decree what I said about it, and Don't get it in your heart. Okay, and this one doing this one. Because when you start looking at that, you say, well, what God is? What God doing? What is God doing stuff? And see, that's what the enemy wants. The believers, most of the believers more than anybody else, they doubt that God, you know, God ain't concerned about y'all. Look what God looked at. He said he gave the earth to men. Well,
mm-hmm.
Really, we ought to be saying, what is the believers doing?
Mm-hmm.
You back, Gwen?
Yes, ma'am. You're doing. You're right where the Lord was telling me. You're doing good.
Well, go ahead and add on.
Well, I was just sitting here listening. And it is so true what you're saying. And the Lord took me to Isaiah 26:3. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And you are absolutely right. There is turmoil in the earth. There's chaos in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make a statement, and it may seem rather radical, but it's the church's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the church's fault because the church has lowered the bar and the standard so much where the Word of God is concerned. We're too culture conscious. We care too much about what people think or say.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
When our main focus, as she said, the word the Lord gave my church this year was refocus.
Mm.
He said, I need you to refocus, and I need you to return to your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we allow anything else to take over the majority of our thinking or to influence us other than what the word says, we've left our first love. God so loved the world. He didn't say, it's Prophet Miller was so on it. He didn't say God so loved the church. He said God so loved the world that he gave. And one of your favorite scriptures, Apostle, that you use so many times, is 1 Timothy 2. I adore, therefore, that first of all, now he tell you what to do first, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for, my Bible says, all men.
Mm-hmm.
All men. Those you like, those you don't like. Those you understand, those you don't understand. 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And when Prophet Miller was saying, so much of the church, we've got, like she said, we're not walking in love. We want somebody to kill Trump. Someone want to kill Biden, all that. This earth is not going to change because of Trump, Biden, or whoever else gets
in
the
come
that's
on.
Right.
It's going to change because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ stand up and start ordering this earth after the word and the commandment of God. No one man, now it can influence and bring a lot of stuff in here, but you know, sometimes we look at things and it don't look like God, but that don't mean it ain't God.
That's right.
Come on.
According to our understanding, because, you know, sometimes when we go to God, we already got our plan. And we just want him to amen it. We think he's coming down this way, but he's planning to come the other way. And
come
so
on.
As believers, we've taken our mouths, and instead of praying for those people to come to repentance,
come on.
Like Prophet Miller said, a lot of those people under the influence of the enemy, they are just much a victim as those that they are victimizing. And
our real enemy,
see, Satan is having a heyday because we're fighting against one another.
Wanna,
churches are dividing and splitting. we're accepting any and everything under the guise of Christianity. They say, ooh, this is working perfectly.
Come on.
But he's our real enemy. Don't get, like they said, don't get it twisted. Our real enemy is the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the enemy of the word, the enemy of the kingdom, and it's Satan. It's the devil. I know that people can yield to the enemy and allow him to use them. That's why we have to take our authority and we begin to pray and to intercede. We can push back darkness long enough for them to make a good decision or make a wise choice. But the church is so, church itself is spewing out so much hate, so much violence, and we have just come to a place where just anything can go in the church. Anything. You can bring the nightclub in there, secular music, weed, all this stuff. Where is the church's outrage over that?
You know, it's very interesting. Down in Atlanta, the pastor one of the mega churches down there said that they need to grow marijuana and sell it.
Yes.
Because that's what the people want. And he's an old mega church. And that's the words of a pastor.
Yes.
Growing weed to sell. What is that saying about the body of Christ?
Yes.
But you know, Apostle, it's saying, it just goes to show you, some preaching about a God that they don't have no relationship with, don't have no knowledge. The word of God have the ability, the power, and the authority to transform anybody's life. I would listen at Prophet Jeremiah Johnson, because, you know, God been showed me some things, and he said something that really blessed me. He was saying he would minister in California, and we know right now the enemy have homosexuals to believe that the saints hate them, but that's a lot of homosexuals of hell. So, but, and he was saying, he said, a lot of times, you know, the homosexual will walk up to him and say, I was born this way. And he said, he began to tell him, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell him, said, look, I'm not going to debate with you whether you were born that way, but I know if you be born again, you won't be gay. And that really blessed me, because if you say you were born that way in the beginning, if you get born again in Christ, you won't be gay. And see, a lot of time the enemy trying to, his strategy, try to get us to bicker with one another, to be arguing with one another, and that ain't the way to solve no problem. The Bible says, soft word turn away wrath.
That's why when
I see leaders saying something that contrary to the Bible, I just start praying for them. No, I'm not going to blast them, because if the Lord showed me one day, he said, you just one step away from where they at. What you mean? We can't never, when we start condemning or putting another person down in the body because they have failed or whatever, listen, it can be you next, so be careful now. We're not supposed to rejoice when a believer falls, but we need to pray for him. Because the Bible said the righteous cover. Now, he didn't say compromise. When he said cover, we don't blast them, but we stand in it. We pray for them. Don't go out there and talk about them. But we need to stand and take that word. Father, I cover them with the blood. I come against this attack on their life. I pray for enlightenment. I pray for understanding. God, bring people in their path that help reel them back in.
Yes.
So there too again, we got to realize, God is sovereign. God is just. And God is a God of love. But God gonna deal with sin. And the Bible said the judgment of God will start in the house of the Lord first. So that's why we see a lot of things being exposed. But there too, as I stated, we got to be careful, because we only one step from what they are. And we have to pray. And see, that's why the Bible said in the last days, many gonna depart from the faith. And what done messed a lot of these leaders, you got their covenant. They love pleasure more than they love God. They doing whatever they can to get money. Now, don't get me wrong. Money is very valuable. But the Bible don't want money to have us. Better yet, God don't want anything to control us. We don't want to control everything else. So there, too, again, and like I said, I thank God for what that process. We got to stand up and say, I don't agree with it. That's not
right.
Our convictions. But the enemy got some leaders. You got some leaders, they're afraid to stand up in the pulpit and agree with what God says. Because they're afraid what the people are going to say. It's impossible to say. What the people going to say about me, what my family going to say. Our number one goal should be what God think about me, what the Father is saying about me. We at the point now, we got to really stand up against it and say, no, that's not my conviction. I disagree with it. I'm not going to get with it. And see, you don't compromise with sin. Because, see, when it come down to the things of God, people expecting us to bend and bow. I think it's in Daniel, the 7th chapter. It's how the enemy is going to try to wear out the saints. And that's what he's trying to do. But he can only wear you out if you don't know who you are in Christ or you not standing up on what the word says. I'm not going to get with, and please hear what I'm saying. I love everybody, just like God loves everybody, but God hates sin. When I'm a child and a servant of God, I love everybody too. But I hate your lifestyle. I hate sin.
Right.
And I'm not ashamed and I'm not scared to afraid to say I hate it. And we as born-again believers, that's what we got to do. If it's in the family, stand for no, I disagree with it. I remember when I got saved over 47 years ago, and some of my family members be want to go out and party, and they said, "Will you babysit?" I said, "No." You don't want to. I said, "I'm not going to babysit while you go out and party for the day. I don't do that." And we got to do the same thing when it comes down to homosexual. And we just got to say, they're going to get mad. That's what the devil do. God, give me more boldness. Where the Bible said the righteous is bold as a lion. And when we go even in the book of Acts, when those apostles are standing up for what was right, they were persecuted. Some was killed for it. But y'all, he's here. What we going to do? But you got to know, I don't want to say that. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want nobody mad at me. And this is, no. Y'all, I really believe, now, this is a proverb from the old son. I believe God's thumb is in the believer's back and saying, are you going to stand for righteousness? Are you going to open and be bold and say, I disagree with it? I'm not going to come in agreement with it. I believe that the stage is set for us as born again believers to stand up against unrighteousness.
I agree wholeheartedly. And one of the things I wanted to read now is Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And this is the foundation, another scripture that's the foundation. Revelation 12. Let me get it back again. 7 through 9.
Okay.
And this is what, I tell you, this is interesting. I'm going through all these changes. I had it and I was reading it, and now I'm having problems. But I'm not giving up. 12:7. This is about Satan thrown out of heaven. It says, this is King James, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who, deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. Now, what we are just saying tonight is that the devil is doing his job, and he's excellent at doing his job. But the scripture already told us what he's going to be doing. And only thing that we're saying is that if you stand on the word
That's
gives
right.
you authority and the power
That's
over
right.
the enemy. And it's not so much these people that you see, it is what is driving them. It's what's going on in the invisible world, in the spirit world.
That's right.
That's causing
right.
them to be and do and say what they're doing and saying and acting. And we have that knowledge, and you will find it for yourself. You pick up the book. Pick up the book and read. And if you don't have the book, you got a smartphone. Just Google it, and it will point up, take you right here to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, the start of verse 7. So nowadays, there's no excuse. My ancestors, that was an excuse because they could half of them couldn't read, not write. But most of them knew the Bible, and they could tell you what the Bible said.
Come on now.
Here we got all this modern communication devices, and we don't know what the Bible says. And we're allowing the enemy to deceive us. So I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit gave us this topic for discussion for tonight. I hope and pray that somebody's heart has been touched. And as a result of that, pick up the book, please, the Bible. I don't care which version you pick up. Just pick it up and turn and read. And then if you read that version and say, I wonder what this other one say, then go pick that one up and read it. And you can compare and contrast them. But until you pick it up and read it, you're not going to know.
That's
the
right.
The world is telling you it's okay. The world is telling you that what is the truth? They're asking you a question, what is the truth? And then also they're telling you alternative facts. There is no such thing as an alternative fact. The truth is the truth. A fact is a fact. And then you got another one saying, you don't believe that unless I tell you. Who is the I? Well, my whole thing is that if it doesn't line up with what the word says, I discount it completely. And I've gotten so now, whenever I look at individuals, situations, circumstances, I can about tell you what the outcome is going to be. So I don't even bother myself to even looking at it or listening to it. What we are saying.
One thing that I think that the church have lost and it's got to come back is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost the fear of the Lord. You can look back in some of our old patriarchs, even when Joseph, when his Potiphar's wife tried to get him to lay with her, he
right.
said, "I can't do this thing against God."
Right.
David's heart smote him when he cut off Saul's skirt. There is, when the truth be told, there is absolutely in the church, in some churches, in some of the body of Christ, absolutely no fear of the Lord. We don't regard him as holy. We don't regard him as pure. That's why we can say anything. We can do anything, whether it's in the church or outside the church. You've got pastors that are drinking, smoking, having affairs, worshiping the devil. They're in with all this religious stuff that has nothing to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're the light, and we are, because God said we're the light. And it is not if we are. God said we're the light, so God don't lie. We're the light and the salt. Well,
that's right.
If our light is here, then everybody's stumbling in darkness. If our salt is no longer salty, then it can't preserve and it can't save. There has got to come back a holy fear of the Lord. His word, God is holy, and what he says is right. I dare not. Some of these things that I've seen and I'm praying for them, I ain't putting my mouth against them, but my eyes are open and I know what the word says. It, like you said, it's not going to turn out good. But if we get a holy reverential, not afraid that God, no, a respect for God, a reverential fear for God. There are some people that have more, I would say, respect for folk than they do God.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely out of order. There must return to the body of Christ a fear of the Lord. Because I belong to him, there's just certain things that his word has commanded that I should not do, places I should not go, things I should not say. And because I love him and because I honor him, because I know he is the source of my life, the source of my salvation, the source of my healing, my joy, and any trouble that I'm in, if I'm going to get out of it, he's going to have to bring me out. So I have a reverential respect for God. There's just some things, I don't care if don't nobody see me, won't nobody ever find out. God knows, and I know. I'm just not going to do it. I've got that fear of the Lord. Prophet Miller used this word all the time. I'm scared.
Apostle Gwen, there too, yes. Again, you know, and I think you and I had the discussion one time.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why, you said, why some people have more reverence for Pope and they do, here's what they done heard about the Pope.
That's right.
There too, again, we teaching people the reverence fear of God, the consequences of their sin. See, even with my ancestors. Now, yeah, they put the fear of God in us, but they did it in the wrong way. They didn't tell us the love of God. But a lot of people don't want to teach on that now. People don't want to teach on the consequences of sin. Because guess what? They don't want you to talk about sin. Some people don't want you to talk about the devil. They don't want you to talk about warfare. So now, faith come by hearing. You're in the Word of God. So, but back then, I would answer my parents. Now, I'm going to tell you, they said, you know, if you do this here, the boogeyman don't get you. Like I said, the way they taught it, it was wrong.
Yeah.
You hear me now. But it put a fear of God because I said, if I do that, the consequences of this won't happen. So there too, again, could it not be that it's not enough teaching on the consequences of sin? You know, because we got to realize that. Why people put certain people on a high pedestal? Because that's what they hearing. What we hear is very important. What we hear can change our desire. Now, the more I read, I thank God for the New Testament. But when I go back in the Old Testament and see every time God told the children of Israel to do, and they didn't do because the law and the principle that govern that, the consequence, him let me know, hold up, wait a minute. You telling me every time these people went against what you said, God, they suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said today, is anybody telling people that? You know, I tell people, okay, you know, like the Lord showed me one time, he said, everybody talking about heaven, but they ain't telling people that they got to stand before the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a lot of people thought about, now, you're going to stand before the judge. We're going to give an account of what we did with the finishing work of Christ. Did we do what God said? But some people, oh, honey, I just want to get to heaven. Have you thought about that you're going to have to stand before the judge? But see, there too again, I think if I were teaching, it's talking, yeah, God is a God of justice. And that's why God hates sin. That's just it. I don't care how we like to say, God hates sin so much, he sent his only son and we're willing to let him die for sin. That ought to let us know right there. Now, wait a minute. And then, according to the scripture, he turned his back. He wouldn't even look on Jesus because of sin. And as the Lord began to even open my eyes, I said, you know what? You, sin is really that bad. But you got a lot of people. They got people that, oh, you, honey, you know, we got grace. And, you know, you can go out here and sin. But, you know, just long as you repent, God is okay with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Listen to what people, how they present it to people. And just like my parents, the way they raised me, just like the scripture said, the word of correction got foolish out of child. Well, we kept doing the same thing. I learned to honor and respect my parents because they would pop me, you know, use the word of correction. But people hear, oh, honey, and then they'll tell you, oh, people don't have, they not sinning, they just got hang-ups. You know, I mean, you hear stuff, what you said, hang-ups. But people don't want to address things. Do it make sense what I'm saying?
It makes perfect good sense because what you were saying carried me back to one of my appointments that I had as a pastor. When the chairman of the, not the deacon board because we didn't have deacon, but the chairman of trustee came to me one night that we had something at church, and he said, Pastor, don't mention, I would mention the word devil.
Huh?
I would mention, he actually said that, those words. And
some people don't want you to talk about hell. They don't want
right.
you to do it.
And then the other thing is, we say the New Testament church means we don't have to bother with the old. But whenever you stop and think about it, what Jesus fulfilled was a prophecy about him. The law and the Ten Commandments never, he didn't fulfill the Ten Commandments. They're still on the book. They're still, we're going to be held accountable. And, you know, the whole thing is that the world, you're right, Apostle McIntyre, the world has gotten in the church, and the world has dictated what the pastor is going to say.
Come on.
And
what
the pastor,
what are we teaching?
Right, and what the pastor is saying is what keep people paying their tithes. We can't, because we got this multi-million-dollar building and the mortgage is on it. And, you know, it's that kind of foolishness that's going on now in the church. They have no complete disregard for teaching the word. See, my thing is that if we teach the word, the money going to come. The money going to come because the Creator going to make sure that he provide all the necessary resources to keep that ministry going.
Right.
Well, a lot of times we're not teaching the word. So we're teaching what makes the people feel good. If you feel good, tell them. And just like the whole thing in the 60s, if you feel good, do it. So what all the church did now was say, hey, if it feels good, I'm going to teach it. Because I want them to stay feeling good. Because if they feel good, they're going to bring their tithes into the storehouse.
Even with that, I'm a strong believer. I give tithes and offering. I'm a strong believer. And I learned when I first got saved, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. But the Holy Spirit taught me about tithe and giving.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me the right way of doing it. You know where I'm coming from? So again, that's why the Bible said we need to study so we can rightly divide it.
Divide the word.
You know, some people got the mindset that I don't have to give tithe. Ain't nobody gonna convince me that I don't have to give tithe. First thing for God taught me that. The Holy Ghost made it so plain to me. That's why when I hear people say something, I know what the Holy Spirit conviction. And when I start giving my tithe, honoring God with tithe and offering, like he said it, and then start giving to the poor as the Lord led me, my whole life changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said there are two again. Now we got some here, yeah, they cover money. I'm not denying that. But there are two again. If we teach the whole counsel of God, if we teach the whole counsel. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every word. And we have to teach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Because even Jesus didn't tolerate with sin.
No.
Possibly. That's up.
One thing is that we got about 4 minutes left. For us to take this last 4 minutes. Nobody's come behind us today, but in the future we will honor our 5 minute deadline. But I would like to take this last time, and we just pray. We just pray for enlightenment. We pray for guidance, because you got people struggling, people who think that they're doing the right thing. And I keep hearing all this stuff about Christianity. And I heard that one of the guys who's running said that if he gets to be the president, he's going to make Christianity the religion of the nation. And I when I first heard that, I just shook my head. Are we playing God? God never demanded I said that we had to do any particular thing. It's our choice. It's our choice. So there's so much stuff going on now. Let us pray for guidance. Let's pray for the spiritual guidance, not just man-made guidance. Go see what some man got to say, but for spiritual guidance. We invite the Holy Spirit into this mess that's going on now. And by doing that, the outcome would be more reflective of where the Creator wants it to be. Apostle,
go ahead and pray, Apostle. It's on your heart so strong. Go ahead and pray, brother.
Okay. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we come to you now. We come to you as humble as we know how. We come to you because you placed this in our heart to have this discussion about tonight. And you alone are the one that created the heavens and one that created the earth. You made government. You made everything. And you gave Paul the scripture, the word, to give to the church. And that church, that word is still valid today for the church today. And the church is not a building. The church is a people. And the three of us together here, and those of you who listen, we are the church. And we just thank you, Almighty God, for giving us that revelation knowledge, giving us that understanding. And as we stand in the gap for people who in this nation now who are struggling, who are confused, who are being tossed to and fro like the waves, like a ship on the without a rudder, we just stand in the gap for them. Just as you told me earlier last year, when you've done all you know to do, stand. And we are standing now, this night.
Yes.
We are standing. Yes. And just like salt. Yes. Father, from history, read about salt in the early days, in the Hebrew life, the Israelite life. Salt was necessary to preserve the food.
Yes.
That's what we are. We understand that we are necessary to preserve your will in this earth at this time. And we just call on you. We invite you. Come in. You gave us this earth to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You said we had dominion over it. You gave us that. After you created it, after you put everything here that we ever would need. And Father, the world has come in now and said, you got to die and go to heaven. And you can have all these riches. But that's not what your word said. Your word in Psalms 115, verse 16 says that heaven is for you and the earth is for the children of men. And the word, as I read earlier tonight about the deceiver has deceived us out of our birthright. And we just invite you into that mix and return that which was stolen from us. And we will rightfully give you the praise and we will rightfully use it to build your kingdom here on this earth. Give us a guide. Give us knowledge. Give us understanding. Give us justice and your meaning for justice, and give us mercy so that we may spread that around in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, y'all. I thank you. Our time is out. But our time is not out. Our time is just beginning. As we leave from here, we are to spread the light. We are to spread that salt.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes.